The following commentary is for educational purposes only. Always consult the appropriate tax, legal, or financial professionals before acting on any information heard in this program.
Welcome to the IRA Brothers Podcast. I'm Nick Edwards.
And I'm Nathan Edwards.
And this is episode number 2. And for this show, we're going to pick up where we left off in the last show, and we were describing in that one, the traditional IRA. This week, we're going to talk about the not-too-distant relative, and that is the Roth IRA, which, Nathan, as you are fully aware, is my favorite type of retirement savings account.
I am aware of that.
In describing the Roth IRA, sometimes I find the easiest way to do it is to start with the differences between the Roth and the traditional IRA. The most distinct of those differences is, Nathan?
Well, in the traditional IRA, as we talked about during the last episode, we can make tax-deductible contributions, which then grow tax-deferred. Tax-deferred meaning that any interest earned on the dollars that we place into a traditional IRA, we do not have to pay taxes on until we take a distribution. Upon distribution from our traditional IRA, we have to pay taxes on 100% of the distribution at our then ordinary income tax rate.
So to recap quickly from last week, the nice thing about the traditional IRA is that money that you put into it for the current year may be deductible from that current year's income, but that's not the case with a Roth, right?
That's right. So in a Roth IRA, we have to make after-tax contributions. Once we make those after-tax contributions, however, those dollars then grow tax-free.
So when you say after-tax contributions, unlike the traditional IRA, we don't get to deduct what we put into the Roth IRA each year, correct?
Correct.
And then once the money's in there, does it grow tax-deferred?
No, and this is the big difference. So tax-deferred versus tax-free, right? Tax-deferred just means that we don't have to pay taxes on the interest while it's inside of that IRA wrapper. As soon as we take it out of that, we have to pay taxes on 100%. But with the Roth IRA, it truly grows tax-free in that you will never have to pay taxes on those dollars again as long as you take the dollars out after you've had the account for 5 years and as long as you are older than age 59 and a half.
So let's say that I don't have the account in there for 5 years, or I'm under age 59 and a half. Is all the money I put into it going to be taxable just like it would be with the traditional IRA? And let's not forget about that 10% penalty if you're under age 59 and a half.
If we take dollars out of our Roth IRA before age 59 and a half, we have two components. We have what we put in, which is commonly referred to as the basis. We can always get our basis back out of a Roth IRA at any point in time.
Contingent upon what penalties may be levied by the investment company that you're using.
That's right. So obviously, if you have assets inside of your Roth IRA wrapper that impose other penalties, then yes, of course, you'd have to pay penalties for removing those assets early. But in a vacuum, just in a Roth IRA, we can take that basis back out and not have to pay taxes on it because we've already paid our taxes on that. Now, the interest component is where all the magic happens. Mm-hmm. One, magic on the side that it grows tax-free. We should never have to pay taxes on that interest. And two, magic in the bad sense in that if you take those dollars out prior to age 59 and a half, not only will you have to pay income tax, but you would also have to pay a 10% penalty.
Now, that's a mouthful, so let me condense again for you. The money that you put into your Roth IRA has two components. Well, really, there's only one component of what you put in. That's called the contribution, or as Nate said, the basis.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, over time, the money that you put in will grow, and then you'll have the interest portion, which is the second half of that. So you have what you put into it, which you can get out at any time without any penalties, provided that the investment company that you're using doesn't impose any penalties. The interest portion is what needs to stay in there for at least 5 years or until age 59. And a half. If you try to take that interest portion out, you will pay not only ordinary income tax, but also that 10% penalty just on the interest portion if you take it out before 5 years has lapsed or before age 59 and a half.
So what happens if I open up a Roth IRA? 3 years later, I go to another investment provider and I open up a new Roth IRA. Do I have to wait another 5 years to get my interest out of that new account?
The clock starts ticking when you open your first Roth IRA. It doesn't matter where you move the money from there, so it's important that you keep accurate records of when you open that first IRA because that's when the 5-year clock starts ticking.
So regardless of where my money is at, the 5 years is absolute.
That's
if
right.
I open a Roth IRA, I have 5 years from that date until when I can take the money out. As long as I'm over age 59 and a half without having to pay taxes or a penalty.
And I should add that when dealing with that 5-year rule or the age 59 and a half triggering point, it's whichever of those two things come later. So if you open a Roth IRA account at age 58, you still have to let those 5 years pass before you can get the interest out without the taxes being due or that 10% penalty, assuming this is your first IRA account that you've opened.
Now, what about those who want to contribute to both a traditional IRA and a Roth IRA.
And Nate, that's an excellent segue into the annual contribution limits. And this one's easy because they're exactly the same as they are for the traditional IRA.
And those contribution limits are what?
If you're under age 50, you can put $5,500 into your Roth IRA. If you're over age 50, you can put an additional $1,000 in, bringing you up to $6,500.
Great. So I can put $5,500 into my Roth IRA and $5,500 into my traditional IRA.
That's close, but entirely off base. Between the two accounts, you can get a maximum of $5,500 if you're under age 50 or $6,500 if you're over age 50. That means you could put $3,500 into your traditional IRA, assuming you're under age 50, and another $2,000 into the Roth IRA or whatever combination you like, as long as you don't personally exceed that annual contribution limit between the two accounts.
So between these two, what we'll call sister accounts, we can make a total contribution up to our what we'll call IRA total contribution limit for any given year. As of 2017, that is $5,500 if you are under age 50 or $6,500 if you are over age 50.
That's correct. And we'd be remiss to not discuss the income phase outs. Like the IRA, the traditional IRA that we discussed last week, there are some different numbers that you'll need to remember for the Roth IRA. Now, there's not a matter of deductibility like there was with the traditional IRA because you're not deducting anything you put into this. As Nathan said earlier, this is after-tax money that you're putting into it.
Right.
But there are some limitations. If you are married and filing jointly, the phase out for what will limit the amount that you can actually put into your Roth IRA each year starts at $186,000 of modified adjusted gross income.
That is much higher than a traditional IRA limit.
Which is another one of the reasons why I love the Roth IRA.
Now, what about an individual person, so a single person like we talked about last episode?
That phase out starts at $118,000.
So just to remind you, for a traditional IRA, the phase out for a single individual begins at $62,000. For a Roth IRA, that same phase out begins at $118,000.
That's correct.
What are some of the other benefits of utilizing a Roth IRA?
Now let's talk about what happens on the distribution side of it, because that's where the Roth IRA really shines. As we mentioned in the last episode, something that you have to worry about with any type of tax-deferred account, whether it's a traditional IRA or a 401k or other types of qualified retirement plans, which I'm sure we'll get to later, at 70 and a half, you have to start taking the required minimum distributions, because the IRS does not like you getting too old without paying your taxes on that money that you have not yet paid tax on.
So in the various types of tax-deferred accounts, the year in which an individual turns 70 and a half, they have to start taking distributions from those accounts at a rate that is dictated by the government.
Well, let's not get too far ahead of ourselves there, cowboy, because not all accounts that are tax-deferred work that way. For instance, if you have a 401k and you're still working at 70 and a half, you don't have to start taking that RMD. But let's just limit this to the world's traditional and Roth IRAs. In that case, it's 70 and a half from your traditional IRA. You must start taking those required minimum distributions. Not so with a Roth IRA.
But it's also true that at some point in everyone's life, as long as they live long enough and are no longer employed, they will have to start taking a government-mandated distribution from a tax-deferred account.
Would you believe me if I told you that was not the case with a Roth IRA?
Let's just say it would be hard to believe.
With a Roth IRA, you can actually die without having taken any money out of that Roth IRA account, nor paying any additional taxes on that money in your Roth IRA account. You can pass it to the next generation, and they don't have to pay any taxes on the money in your Roth IRA account when they inherit it. But when they inherit it, they will have to start, let's just say this, the slowest that they can take it out is by setting up what's called a stretch IRA, and they have to start taking distributions based on their life expectancy. But even in that case, they still don't have to pay the taxes on it.
So from the perspective of a financial planner, why is this not having to take required minimum distributions such a big deal?
Well, we often run into folks who are in retirement and they have income coming in from non-discretionary sources. In other words, they can't shut off the income. They may have income coming in from pensions and Social Security or bond interest or stock dividends, and they don't need any additional money. And then those RMDs kick in, and then they have to start taking money they don't need and paying taxes on it. It's nice to have a nice little pile of cash sitting there in this Roth IRA, which they do not have to touch, and of course is not piling onto their already bad tax situation each year.
So exactly. So if these folks can't turn off these other sources of income, and then they're forced to start taking these distributions, it could actually end up increasing the amount of taxes that they have to pay and their marginal tax bracket.
That's correct. And I think that pretty much wraps up the broad strokes of the Roth IRA. Nate, time for the executive summary.
So in a Roth IRA, we can make after-tax contributions in an amount up to $5,500 a year if we are under age 50 and up to $6,500 a year if we are over age 50. Now, it's important to remember that between our Roth IRA and traditional IRA, we can only contribute up to those caps. So even if it's a combination of those two accounts, the maximum that we can contribute under age 50 is $5,500 and over age 50, $6,500. Now, the real benefit of a Roth IRA is that after we make that contribution, our assets grow tax-free. If we don't want to, we do not ever have to take a distribution from that account, and as long as we hold it, we will never be taxed on the interest earned. Not only will we not be taxed on the interest earned, our beneficiaries will not be taxed on the interest earned.
And it bears mentioning, as just a reminder, that the Roth IRA, just by virtue of being a Roth IRA by itself, has nothing to do with the amount of interest that you'll earn. It's what you park inside of this account. Same thing with the traditional IRA. It's the stocks, the bonds, whatever it is that you're sticking inside of that that's actually earning the interest. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is a Roth IRA.